I will never forget my first trip to New York City. I was in college. I came from a small town in North Carolina, and I could not believe the canyon of skyscrapers, the Central Park, Macy's department store, Lincoln Center, just so much of it. Everything about it was just overwhelming to me. A few years later, I was in an airplane flying over New York City, and I looked out the airplane window and I saw it down there, and I thought, you don't look all that big up here. You know, like little dollhouses. I had the opposite experience with the Grand Canyon. The first time I saw the Grand Canyon, I was flying to California and I was flying over it. And the pilot said, the Grand Canyon is down below us. And I looked out the window and I said, oh, there it is. And I felt like I could see the whole thing and it didn't look all that deep. But a few years later, I stood on the rim of that canyon and my eyes could not believe what they were seeing. I couldn't find the end of it. And it looked so deep and it looked so wonderful. I was so impressed. And in fact, on that trip, Elizabeth and I took a helicopter ride. I think I've told you about this story before. We took a helicopter ride over the Grand Canyon, and as we were approaching the rim of the Grand Canyon, the pilot said, I want you to look down. It was one of those bubble helicopters where you could see the ground a little bit. I want you to look down at the trees below us as we're going. So we did, you know, we stared at them and they're whizzing by. And then suddenly, without warning, he went over the rim of the Grand Canyon and the air currents caught the helicopter and it bobbed like this. And it must have been the deepest place in the canyon. It was unbelievable. It was breathtaking. It was scary as heck, but it was wonderful. It was wonderful. From the ground to the sky, from the sky to the ground, it's all a matter of perspective. Three people were visiting the Grand Canyon. One was an artist, one was a pastor, and one was a cowboy. The artist said, "What a beautiful place to paint." The pastor said, "What a wonderful example of God's handiwork." And the cowboy said, what a terrible place to lose a cow. It's all a matter of perspective. Here's another one. What could be worse than having a flooded basement in your house? Try a flooded attic. It's all a matter of perspective. Here's something very true. The more mature we get in life, and especially as Christians, the more we learn that the best way to live our lives is to see them through God's perspective. What do you think his perspective is of New York City and the Grand Canyon? Here's a better question. How big is your God? God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he's allowed us to discover that the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. Wow. And we have discovered that the sun, our nearest star, is 93 million miles away, and it takes more than 8 minutes for the light from that sun to reach the planet Earth. Wow. And that light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, how far does it travel in 1 year? The answer is 6 trillion miles. Wow! How long does it take for that light to reach the nearest quasar? Are you ready for this? 9 billion years. How big is your God? With that in mind, what is man that he would even consider us? How big are your problems? They can seem like impossible mountains to you sometimes, but it's all a matter of perspective. We might see loss. We might see illness. We might see disappointment. But God sees his plan unfolding in your life. We fret, and we spend some of our nights tossing and turning and finding it difficult to sleep because of our burdens. God says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How big is your God? How small are your problems? Oh, brothers and sisters, I know that it is very, very difficult to let go and let God. I know it takes faith, it takes trust, it takes patience, it takes surrender. But when we let go and surrender to God, we are placing our lives into the hands of a big God who is more than sufficient of taking care of every need you may have. Every need. He has lived all your yesterdays. He is living all of your todays. And he has lived your tomorrows. Wow! We dwell in the confines of space and time and calendars. He dwells in the universe of time. How big is your God? Some watched a gruesome drama take place with a man nailed to a cross and tortured to death, and they cried out in horror. God saw the redemption of mankind from eternal damnation, and the angels cried, glory! It's all a matter of perspective. The hymn writer said it well. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love, abide. God will take care of you. Do you believe that? That same hymn goes on. It says, no matter what may be the test, lean, weary one, upon his breast. Are you able to do that? It continues. God will take care of you in every way or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Do you believe that? Do you believe it enough? Do you want to believe it more? Careful. He just might prove it to you by putting you through something you don't want in your life. That is why there's a petition in the Lord's Prayer that says, lead us not into testing. That is the correct translation of the word that we say temptation. Lead us not into testing. One of my favorite biblical characters is David. That's why I named my son David. Why did I bring up David? Because I believe that a small part of his life is a good illustration of God's perspective. David was the second king of Israel. Saul was the first king of Israel. Who was the king of Israel before Saul? God. God was the king of Israel before all that happened. Yahweh, Adonai, Jehovah God was their king, and he miraculously delivered them from the slavery in Egypt, and they were no longer slaves. They were free, and then he performed more miracles for them than they could count. He parted the waters of the Red Sea. He sent a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He provided food. He provided water for them in a barren desert. He caused the walls of Jericho to fall down and much more. God remained faithful to them. He did not change. But they did. Their hearts changed. They wanted an earthly king, like the other nations around them had. They wanted to govern themselves. That's kind of hard to imagine, isn't it? When you've got the God of the universe and you want man's government. How could they turn their backs on a sovereign God and follow the leadership of the pagan nations? Well, if you stop and think about it, that is exactly what we have done. And not just America, but all over the world. What a tragedy when men prefer to be led by men rather than by God. Tragedy befell the Hebrews because of all of that, and the same is true of us today. How can we see God's perspective, his truth, his perfection, when we look elsewhere for truth? Mankind is stupid. Notice I did not say, you are stupid, or I am stupid. I am too proud to want to say that. Mankind is stupid. I think we should pause and be reminded of a passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. I believe you know this well, but listen to it again with fresh ears. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in his wisdom, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So, God's foolish people wanted to look like the nations around them and embrace the wisdom of the world and follow the vain philosophies of the world. And that left very little room for God's perspective. And it's still true. When we do that, brothers and sisters, we're like a ship without a rudder, aimlessly floating around in the ocean until it finally crashes into the rocks and we wake up. And we do, and we will. It's hard to imagine how God could be so patient with us. The Hebrews wanted an earthly king. They chose Saul, and that did not go well, so God intervened, and he chose David. Now, just think about God's perspective in this one illustration. The people's perspective was to select Saul because he was taller than all the rest of the men, he was handsome, and he was a good leader, he had good traits, he had charisma, and the people said, we want him to be our leader. I vote for him. God gave them what they wanted, but Saul was not God's choice. And as you know, it did not go well, so God then chose David, a boy, a shepherd boy, that even his father Jesse did not bother to call in to meet the prophet Samuel. But God's perspective was different, and David eventually became their king. When God's perspective is followed, there is no end of what he can do. When God's perspective is ignored, there is no end to what he could do. Did you notice what I did there? I started all this by talking about petty things, little things. And then I moved into weightier matters of life, and how our perspective can be distorted with both of them. When we realize it, those can be aha moments. Have you ever had an aha moment? And then I move to these weightier things, and our lack of perspective can actually blind us. But when we realize it, we have oh no moments. You ever had an oh no moment? In other words, we can do ourselves a world of good, both in the little things and in the weighty things of life, by allowing God to be God. He, and only he, can see the full picture. His perspective is perfect. After all, God really wants good for you. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. James 1:7, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Are there any dog lovers in here? My son David has 4, count them, large dogs. David and his wife are excellent cooks, and their home is often filled with wonderful aromas. And when we sit down to eat, you can bet that those 4 dogs are frozen in place, zeroed in on every morsel on that table. Feed me, feed me, feed me. And sometimes they get a treat. Other times, the food that they think they need would make them sick, so it's withheld. They don't understand. Why are those humans not giving me what I want? Why are they giving me what I need? That is exactly the way we are with God. Are you listening? We think we know what we want. We think we know what we need. We pray to him. We are frozen in the spot, expectant, at attention, begging him. And God, because of his great love for us, will often give us the gifts we ask for. But God, because of his great love for us, will sometimes say, no, He can see everything from a different perspective than we can. So we are placed in the position of trusting Him. How is your level of trust in God? Do you believe that He has the best perspective of your life? Do you believe that? Are you willing to let Him be your King? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence, daily live. That is an awesome prayer. That is a big confession. That is a mouthful of challenge. But if you and I are going to live under God's perspective, as we should, that is exactly the prayer we need to pray every day and probably every hour. May He give us the strength to do just that. Let us pray. Father, as you know, I have asked you to take this message and penetrate the heart of any person here who is carrying a burden. And I have asked you to help each of those persons to see their burden as part of your divine plan, and to trust you and to surrender to you and to allow you to be their King, their Lord, their leader, their companion, their healer, their friend. And I ask that for me too, Lord. May we now profess to you from our hearts as we sing, I surrender all. Amen.